These are actual people who care about art. And also, I think if you are selling NFTs and you truly don't care about art, you don't get anything out of it. You just get money out of it, and money won't really bring you anywhere.
This is the Beneath the Surface podcast. We are your hosts, Michelle and Julius, and we are here to help you unlock your true potential. Learn from our failures and successes and start understanding what it takes to grow a successful business around your passions.
We are a creative couple originally from different countries who are both able to build online businesses by doing what we love: photography, online marketing, and travel.
Let's dive beneath the surface, become better versions of ourselves, and find success in life. Before this episode begins, remember that there is a video version of this podcast available on YouTube. So head to our YouTube channel, Beneath the Surface Podcast, to watch the video version.
Welcome to the 8th episode of the Beneath the Surface Podcast. Today we're going to talk everything NFT related because I think it's a really huge opportunity for us artists to actually get the appreciation we deserve. And a lot of people don't even know what NFTs are and how it all works. So we're going to cover this today. But of course, it's such a complex topic that we can't go really in depth. So we're going to keep it very surface level. And Julius will start now by explaining what NFTs actually are.
I'm actually going to just read the definition of NFTs and we'll then start to open it up more, because this is a very complex topic, as Michelle said. And if we would actually go in depth, actually, we couldn't even go in depth because it gets so complicated that our brains could not comprehend.
Yeah,
the people behind. Course. People behind building systems like that are just way out of our level. They're just so much higher somewhere with their, how do you say it? Smartness is not a word in English.
Intelligence,
that's the word.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would just read the definition of NFTs and we'll open it word by word what this whole thing means. And we try to simplify it for the people who have a hard time understanding what NFTs are. So a non-fungible token, NFT, is a unit of data stored on a digital ledger called a blockchain that certifies a digital asset to be unique and therefore not interchangeable. NFTs can be used to represent items such as photos, videos, audio, and other type of digital files. Access to any copy of the original file, however, is not restricted to the buyer of the NFT. While copies of these digital items are available for anyone to obtain, NFTs are tracked on blockchains to provide the owner with a proof of ownership that is separate from the copyright. And I think the last sentence is really important because there's a lot of confusion that people think, like, what do people actually get when they buy an NFT? Because they do not get the rights. You still keep the rights as an artist yourself when you sell an NFT, which means that you can create prints out of it. You can sell copyrights of your image then further on. So an NFT is completely separate from the copyrights. So as in the description, it said the NFTs can be anything.
Yeah, images, anything digital.
Yeah, anything digital, from images to videos to music, whatever the sort of artist wants to put out there. And it doesn't even have to be an artist. There's a bunch of like different usages for NFTs, but mainly it's used currently for digital art. And also some musicians have joined it, and it's like a very fascinating, quickly growing industry, which is still in the very, very beginning.
Yeah, and what's very important is the uniqueness of the NFT. If I sell an NFT, only the one person that buys it, or of course you can have editions, so multiple people can own it, but that's it. And you can compare it, for example, with the Mona Lisa. There's only one real Mona Lisa. There are a lot of copies of Mona Lisa, like someone created another art piece made, like including the Mona Lisa, or some people just take images of it and then they think, oh, okay, well, I have an image of the Mona Lisa. But that's not exactly how it works, especially in the digital space. A lot of people can't seem to understand what's so valuable about actually owning it, because you can, for example, just take a screenshot of it.
Yeah, so this is just like immediately comparable. There is only one Mona Lisa and there is also only one NFT, unless you have created multiple copies. So let's say Da Vinci would have created 3 Mona Lisas.
Yeah.
Then there's 3 different Mona Lisas. And those each of those sort of have value. And the value of NFTs is something that people don't understand either. But the value is just, well, how do you value art?
It's just in the eye of the person who buys the art.
So the NFTs can sort of just be compared to a real art auction. No one really understands why someone's painting is worth 200 million, but there's a people in this world who appreciate art, who want to collect art, and who see the value in those things. And that's how the value is sort of just created.
Yeah.
You can't say that your NFT or my NFT would be worth 50,000 euros. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't say that. It's just what a collector sees as the value.
Yeah.
It might be that they resonate with the piece and they have had similar experiences in their life that the piece is about, and then they see like, I really want to own this. And since it is only one piece of that, that makes the uniqueness of it. And that's something that we're also going to discuss about and try to open it up more and more throughout this episode, because we have noticed that it's really, really hard, especially in the photography industry, for people to understand like what this whole thing is about.
Yeah. And just like with physical art, people can basically trade with art. Someone can buy a piece for 1 million and be able to sell it again for 3 million. And that's exactly also the case with NFTs. People or the collectors, if they actually see value and notice that the value rise, they can continue selling this and even make a profit of it.
Of course, the resales, if you are a nobody, can be a bit hard to resell and sort of like build in value. But if you are someone who is creating a name in the space, for example, People, who is a really talented digital artist who's been creating art since like ages, like people actually see the value because he was sort of the biggest name on the NFTs straight from the beginning. And every time people drop new NFTs, people see the value in it. They know that people will buy them for more expensive on the secondary market. And that's pretty much it. But I want to quickly go in depth a bit more on other types of descriptions on what are related to NFTs, like blockchains, what is Ethereum, and what are all these things that are related to the NFT, because the world doesn't stop just to selling art. There's so much behind the scenes that sort of make it really complicated to approach. Mm. But let's try to simplify this as much as possible. We're still like, some of these technical terms are like hard to comprehend, but
harder to explain.
Yes, 100%. But we will try to do our best now. So it said here that the non-fungible token NFT is a unit of data stored on a digital ledger called a blockchain. So basically what happens when you sell an NFT is that there will be a transaction that is stored into a thing called blockchain. And I will quickly read here what blockchain basically is. A blockchain is a growing list of records. Blockchain is resistant to modification of its data. This is because once recorded, the data in any given block cannot be altered retroactively without alteration of all subsequent blocks. I think that's how you pronounce it, which means that it's basically just a list of transactions and list of data which will grow on top of each other, and you can't really alter it. I think it is possible to alter the data, but it's considered to be extremely secure. So when someone purchases an NFT, there will be a unique transaction that, hey, this person placed a bid on this artwork and it can't be changed. It will be permanently stored into the blockchain as a unique like data source.
I have to say that depends on the platforms. On Foundation, that happens like that. But for example, if someone places a bid on Maker's Place, for example, they can still take the bid away. But I think mostly you're talking about if someone actually buys the art.
Yeah, I think that's what I confuse myself with as well. I actually don't know if it creates a track on the blockchain already when you place a bid. It could be that the data is only stored in the blockchain once the auction is finished.
Mm.
And this is something that we actually, I'm interested to check afterwards, because I'm not 100% sure about that yet. But it could be that this data is stored into the blockchain just when the auction is finished. And that's basically the, how would you say it? Like the proof of ownership, yeah, so to say. And that's how you can prove that you are the only owner of this piece and no one else can own it. So now we have NFTs. We have where the NFTs sort of are stored, which is a blockchain. And then we have the currency of these NFTs. A lot of people have seen that when people are selling NFTs, there's always that sold for 5 ETH, which means that the NFTs work on a cryptocurrency called Ether. And people get confused with this. So there's two things. There's Ether, which is the currency, and there's Ethereum, which is the actual blockchain that NFTs work on. So Ethereum is the actual blockchain, and then Ether is the currency that is used on this blockchain. So let's say Michelle puts an artwork on sale on Foundation, for example, which is one of the NFT platforms, and someone purchases it. The transaction data is stored on the blockchain Ethereum, and it's purchased with the currency on that blockchain, which is called Ether. I don't know if that made any sense, but this is basically how it works. And Ether is just a cryptocurrency used on the Ethereum blockchain. And Ethereum is the second biggest cryptocurrency after Bitcoin. And I don't know enough to go super in deep or super in depth with the cryptocurrencies and like how they actually work and so on. But just to keep it surface level, this is sort of all the info you need to know. There's a blockchain where the data is stored, and there's a cryptocurrency that the whole thing works with. And every single time someone buys a piece, that data is stored into the blockchain, making it unique.
Yeah, it's important to know the basics. Of course, you can't be an expert on the field if you're an artist, but now we're moving to a bit more exciting part. How do you become an NFT artist, or how can you start putting NFTs up and trying to sell NFTs, which is really interesting for me.
Yeah, so Michelle recently sold her second NFT. You sold your first NFT for 1.5 Ethereum, mm-hmm. and then your second NFT for 5.5 Ethereum, which is really, really exciting.
Yeah, and to give a bit better understanding, it's over $12,000 if you would basically sell those Ether right now.
Yeah,
because so one Ethereum is right now a bit more than $2,000.
Let's see. The Ethereum price is currently at 2,054 euros. Let me change this to USD. Where is USD here? So currently it's 2,485 USD, and the price changes constantly.
Just like with every other thing, with Bitcoin.
So the price of Ether changes constantly based on how many people buy and sell it. And there is no cap on how many Ethereum there can be on the market. New Ethereum is created every single second as we talk, and there can be as many as basically there is. Time shows how many there will be in the future, but the way how the amount of Ether rises is up to the people who mine cryptocurrencies. Yeah. And we'll talk about that a bit later. And yeah, that's basically all you need to know about the currency that the NFTs work on.
And also to sort of put it into perspective, it's very unrealistic, but basically, for example, if I now have 5 Ethereum in my wallet, in a year, it couldn't be worth anything, because if the price of one Ethereum drops to, I don't know, like $100, then I lose all the money because I didn't decide to sell it. But it also works the other way around. If the price of one Ethereum increases, let's say, right now it's almost $2,500 and it increases to $5,000, then I basically doubled the profit of it. And that's sort of the beauty of it, in my opinion.
Yeah, and also that's the risk of it,
yeah.
as well, which is something that a lot of artists are speculating. It's like, should they keep their Ethereum or should they sell it? I don't know. To be honest, I don't know enough about cryptocurrencies to say if it will be rising or not, but a lot of so-called professionals are saying that the price is expected to grow and more because people are getting like so heavily into it right now.
Yeah.
And the price is going up and down constantly. And there have been times when Ethereum has been high and then it has been down for many years, just like Bitcoin has. One thing that I do want to point out before we start to talk more about how you can get into NFTs is that unlike Bitcoin, Ether is not currently really used in such big way as Bitcoin for purchasing stuff. So with Bitcoin, I think you can even buy a Tesla with Bitcoin right now. But with Ether, that is not possible. So it's used on the Ethereum blockchain to make transactions like the NFTs, for example.
And now we're going to dive deep more into how you can actually start minting NFTs and start selling NFTs. And I think the best way to start is first talk about different platforms. So there are different platforms where you can mint. Mint is, by the way, sort of like publishing your NFT. It will sort of go onto the blockchain. So there are different platforms where you can mint your NFT. I'm using Foundation currently, but they are all different on how you can actually access them. For Foundation, for example, you need an invite of a person who already sold something. Then there are platforms like Nifty Gateway, Super Rare, that are very, very exclusive. So it's really, really hard to sell on those, but then it's sort of a bit of a bigger thing. And then there are also platforms like OpenSea, Rarible, and there are way more platforms coming up currently, but OpenSea and Rarible are at this point accessible for everyone.
Yeah, so Rarible and OpenSea are platforms that you can start basically immediately. You don't need an invitation. You can just go on the website. Only thing you need to do is create a virtual wallet. I think MetaMask is the best one because it's the easiest to access. It's an extension to Google Chrome. So you can get started with that really quickly. And in order to put your artwork for sale, Michelle already briefly mentioned that there's a process called minting, which basically stores the art piece to the blockchain. And when you do this, you need to pay a thing called gas fee. And at first I was really confused because on Twitter and on Instagram, people are like, gas is so low right now, like time to do this and that. And I was like, I was completely confused what people are talking about. But basically the gas fee is a price you have to pay to compensate for what the miners are doing. You're basically paying for the computing power that generates more and more of cryptocurrencies all the time. And the gas fees change all the time. So sometimes the gas fees can be multiple hundred and sometimes they can be just like 20, 30 bucks. And this is something that you need to do every single time you put an artwork for sale. And on some platforms like Foundation, you need to pay the gas fee twice.
And you basically need to pay for minting itself and then also for listing the artwork.
So you pay the gas fee twice, or is the payment for the listing different?
They vary.
Okay, so yeah. they're different.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so that's on Foundation. Then there are platforms like Super Rare, which Michelle said is very exclusive and hard to get on right now. And you can, by the way, apply to all of these platforms.
Yeah.
If you go to the platform's website, you can find an application form from there and you can apply to them. But there are millions of people applying all the time. So the chances of actually getting into a platform like Super Rare is currently like it's
very,
luck.
Very low. Yeah. And there are also different types of ways to basically sell your NFT. For example, on Foundation, it works that you put the lowest price that you want to get for your artwork. And then as soon as someone meets this reserve price and someone bids that exact number, then a 24-hour live auction starts so people can bid more. And then, of course, the highest bids will get the NFT. But then there are also platforms where basically you don't really have to put anything and people can just place a bid depending on what they think it's worth. But then usually they can also remove the bid again if the person doesn't accept it. Let's say if I have an NFT now and someone bids 2 Ethereum and I'm thinking like, maybe I will still wait. They can still remove the bid and then I'm basically at zero again. And then also with Nifty Gateway, it's the way that they actually do drops. And that's, as I said, very exclusive. So they basically hype up the whole drop and then people or like the artists publish different types of things. First, they can publish videos or images or whatever where people can also bid on it, or they can buy editions. Then they have 50 minutes time to buy the NFT, usually for a quite low price.
Or even shorter time. They also less time. Yeah.
But then like a large number of people can get them. So they are all like different types of ways and you just need to see what platform works best for you.
Yeah. So there's one-on-one editions, collections, and different platforms work in different ways or how they approach these things. And I personally would say Super Rare is currently like most appreciated by artists, sort of. And I think that just comes with the exclusivity and higher prices and so on. And that is sort of like the platform that a lot of artists want to be on. But Foundation is really good as well. And as Michelle said, Foundation works with invites. When you sell your first NFT, you get five or seven invites.
It varies. I think now after the second sale, I didn't get any. But after the first sale, I got five.
Yeah. And this is something sort of toxic about the whole community and the whole NFT space right now, because there are people who are benefiting from these invites, people are selling invites, and like it's
never buy invites.
Yeah, don't.
No, don't.
And people are just like going crazy, like, do you have a Foundation invite? I want to get on that Foundation. Do you have an invite? Who has an invite? I want to get on. Like it's this sort of FOMO that people have that makes it very, very sort of toxic. And also there's a lot of like people getting on it where you can immediately see that they're in there for wrong reasons.
Yeah. And if you want to go onto Foundation, please just watch out on Twitter. Some people are giving away Foundation invites. That's exactly what I did when I got them, that people actually were able to showcase their work and then I can choose based on their work. And I think I never really replied to anyone messaging me because I received so many messages asking for upvotes on Foundation or invites or whatever. But I just want to give everyone an equal chance, sort of. And a lot of people are doing it. So if you want to get onto it, it's good to watch out for those.
And that is exactly how I also got on Foundation. There was a tweet and a person was giving away invites to artists. And then I posted my work there and this person really liked my work and then decided to invite me, which I'm really thankful for. But the reason why I haven't gotten into the NFT space myself yet, into the actual minting process, is because I have just been super, super addicted to just creating new work constantly. And I personally thought it would be so much work to sort of confuse my mind while I'm so into creating. I hadn't felt this creative in ages and I didn't want to confuse that process with getting into NFTs, but I'm slowly getting into it now myself.
I mean, it definitely shows that you have the right intentions either way, that you are sort of way more focused on creating art than minting.
The reason is because I don't really need the money.
Yeah.
That's for me the difference. There's so many money-hungry people in the industry right now that they like see dollar signs in their eyes and they just want to get in there, and everyone can see through that.
Yeah,
and for me it's different because
it so often.
Yeah, I have like a business already which is generating good income. It's for me it's completely different. I appreciate art in a completely different way because of this. I don't have to do things because this brings me money. I want to do it because I want people to actually appreciate the art and see the value in it and not just like put a high price there and then like wish that someone would give me money. Like this is not the way how I look at it, and I don't think anyone should look at it in that way because it will not end up well.
Yeah, definitely. I was joining the NFT space with a huge question mark, and I didn't really know anything about the community back then, so I was sort of like a bit suspicious. But then at some point I started to getting to know people and actually joining group. I'm now in a female creative group, and honestly, the support that has almost been the best about being part of the NFT community, it's insane. When I received the first bid of my second piece, probably it was like 3 days ago, it was just insane. I was blown away by the bid, but I was even more blown away by all the support. It's crazy how strongly females, or also other people, of course, but support each other and just sort of cheer each other up and want their best.
Yeah, and this is what I've noticed is that on especially on the like art community, female are super, super supportive towards other female artists. And I think this is a really, really good thing that like females are getting more and more appreciation on the industry constantly. And it's not only coming from women. There's a lot, especially in the NFT community, that collectors are appreciating women's art and trying to find like female artists because it is a pretty men-dominated industry.
Yeah.
So I think it's a really good thing that females are getting more and more appreciation on it. Yeah. And these tiny groups with full of supportive women is sort of such like a fueling factor, especially for you.
Yeah, but I love to see it.
But we're constantly talking about the NFT community. And could you open up a little bit about how to sort of start in this community, or what is this community about? Where, how, when?
So basically the most important platform is Twitter. I actually have never really used Twitter before. I think I had an account, but I wasn't that active because I was a bit confused about how it works, but everything happens on Twitter. I would even go as far as saying, if you don't have Twitter and if you're not active on Twitter, you won't sell your art, because that's where all the collectors are who are looking for art. And that's also where all the artists are that can support you. I don't think that a collector's randomly basically just searching the platform foundation, seeing if they can find something. They sort of need a backstory, and it's usually all found on Twitter.
Yeah, and there was a tweet from like a statistic tweet from someone saying, yeah, why should you be like, why is Twitter the most important platform? And there were statistics that like on all platforms, over 50% of the traffic comes from Twitter. On one platform, I don't know if it was Foundation. I think Foundation was over 70%
the traffic. Of the sales.
Yeah.
Even. Yeah.
Coming from Twitter, which is a really big thing. So if you're not on Twitter, just get on the Twitter right now and start sort of exploring the community, see what others are doing, and like post your work. Just the best way to get attention on Twitter is just to post your work, be genuine, be supportive to others, and do not fake your way in there. Actually, yeah, mean the things that you are saying and interact with people you think are cool and who have cool work. And this is the absolute best way to get started with it. And that's what I'm currently trying to do. Michelle is way, way more into it currently than I have been, and I'm slowly just getting into it, and Michelle is teaching me more about the community all the time, and the strategies that will help to get your name out there, because it is very important in this case. We can't completely abandon the money factor either, or the appreciation factor on the NFTs. That's the only reason why artists are sharing their work either way, to get more eyes to see your work. Mm. Sharing on Instagram your art, it's just to get attention on your work. It's not anyone who's doing it on a professional level is not just doing it for them.
Yeah, no.
They share it
course.
For other people. And this is the exact same with NFTs.
And as Julie said, the money factor is very important as well, of course. But when I got those high bids, what was way more important to me is actually getting to know the collectors who are interested in my work and all the appreciation that I received, because that sort of made me believe in my work way, way more than I did before. And I was always sort of confident about my skills. Of course, there are times when I sort of doubt everything, but getting the appreciation on such a level is an absolutely insane and overwhelming feeling. And also, I mentioned earlier the group with the females in it. They took it as a win for all of them. They didn't only take it as a win for me, but for all of them. That's so beautiful in my eyes.
I saw that here live when the auction was going on. We even had a little clubhouse session where there were some collectors talking and then also artists talking, and the appreciation was just incredible. And it is a really big thing. You sold your second NFT for 5.5 Ethereum, or Ether, should I say, which is a really big thing. And it doesn't happen often that like new upcoming artists on the NFT space sell their NFTs for that price. But I feel like the reason why it happened for you is because you did everything the right way. You had the right strategies, and the artwork spoke for itself. I think it always, even with the NFTs, it comes down to the idea of the artwork. It doesn't come down to like all these strategies of like connecting, blah, blah, blah. It goes down more into the art at the end, but all these things support it. It's like Instagram. If your work is really bad, posting good hashtags won't make your work like get more eyes into it. Same with NFTs.
Yeah, but there we have to mention that it's not only about the visual itself. It's so much about the collectors, the people getting to know who you are and what the story is like behind that piece and what the meaning is. I decided to basically create a video on top that I posted and sort of explained all of that. And everybody appreciated it, and everybody said that they could sort of resonate way more with it. And I think that has been a big advantage for me.
It seems like in the NFT space, 3D is currently sort of like the most appreciated thing and the coolest thing to do, but it doesn't mean that it's limited to 3D. You don't have to start practicing 3D to make it into the NFT space. You can definitely like create different types of work as well, or even post single images. This is just like a space that is currently developing, and it's sort of monkey sees, monkey does type of thing right now. It's like when someone gets a successful or like has a successful NFT launch and it's a 3D piece, there's another person like thinking like, okay, I don't know how to do 3D. I need to learn 3D to sell artwork. This is not the case.
No, but it's definitely possible with any other type of visuals.
Yeah, I personally have been fascinated about 3D since years already. And I always thought it as this like sort of super complicated, hard thing to learn. And it took me a few years to sort of build the interest to the point where I actually like, now is the time for me to start doing 3D. And that's what I've been doing for over a month now, just nonstop, and you too. And it's been so much fun. It has opened both of our eyes into what is possible to create. And I think that's way more important than the whole NFT space, because I always look for ways to grow as an artist and as ways to how I can keep myself busy with learning new things. And for me, it started feeling like Photoshop is a bit boring sometimes because I know it so well. So I myself needed like a new creative outlet, and 3D has been perfect for that. But if you are thinking of getting into the NFT space, don't think that you absolutely have to learn 3D. But it seems like the trendy thing right now is animations and 3D.
Yeah, you definitely don't only need to focus on animations. Although it's, of course, very appreciated at this point. But single images just sell as well, depending on like if it actually tells a story.
Yeah, and the storytelling combined with the visual is the most important thing with the NFT space. And there are a lot of people who are able to tell a really clear and beautiful story through a single frame. But I think within the NFT space, the ideas to collectors come true way more when they actually see it and can immediately see like, okay, what this piece is about. And connecting all of those things with being active on the community and so on is sort of the key to success on the space, in my opinion.
I now also want to talk a bit about the toxic mindset some people have, because, I encountered a really negative opinion, and of course you can't really prevent that. Like,
and this is just one opinion, but still it's...
Yeah, the more often your work is being shared, the more people react negatively to it. And of course, not everyone enjoys your art and everything. But when I sold that NFT, I got a message saying something like, I was wondering, like, why did you sell that NFT so high? To be honest, like, I don't want to be rude, but it's not even that unique. And I talked with a lot of people who said that it's just like a lottery, some rich collector finds it, blah, 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 and everything about us is so wrong.
Yeah, and also in that message, it was like said that I have had a lot of photographers telling me that it's hoo-ha, it's this and that. Like, and this sort of immediately gave me the feeling that it's just... I think there was also in the message something about like photographers go way further like into like making unique work. They sit in the forest for millions of hours getting one shot. Like, okay, yeah. And no one is saying that is not appreciated.
We come from like a photography background. So, so we know like how hard it is to get some sort of shots, but you can't really compare apples with bananas. It's photography and digital art is something completely different.
Yeah, and spending 100 hours creating an art piece versus sitting 100 hours in the forest. I mean, it's hard work either way.
Yeah.
There's a lot of work involved in creating a digital work and creating or being sitting in the forest. We do both of that ourselves.
Yeah.
And we know both of those worlds. And I just think it's so useless to compare and like sort of like things like which should be more appreciated and why someone's photography should be sold for 12,000 and why someone's digital work shouldn't. Like, this is stupid. Art is art.
It's completely subjective.
Exactly. Some person who sees an image of a fox or someone who sees an image of a beautiful landscape could think that, hey, this is worth 12,000 for me. And then other people who appreciate more different things could see that something completely different is worth $12,000.
So just completely forget the comparing game. It's good to sort of seek for inspiration from others, but don't compare yourself to others, because some people are doing things differently. Even if my art wasn't as unique, I took so many things in consideration. I didn't only just post it, hey, I have an NFT minted, check it out.
People are doing.
And I did just so much more to it and gave like a better understanding what the piece is about, and like the whole package matters.
Yeah. And Michelle put a lot of hours into the piece, and the outcome was really good. And yes, maybe your approach was more
strategically.
Yeah, like planned, and that was most like the reason why it did so well. But also the art piece itself was just so stunning and had such a great meaning in it. And it doesn't mean that an art piece has to be perfect to sell. Like, that message was also built into way too... I know we're talking now about one stupid message, but it just gave sort of the feeling that this is the mindset some people have with the industry. Mm. While they're interested in it, they still have like this doubting sort of mindset to it. Like, yeah, art piece doesn't have to be perfect to sell. There's a bunch of... There was even like one gray pixel sort for like how many millions? I don't know. And then there's like these 32-bit or like 16-bit images called crypto punks or something like that that are like the most valuable thing.
Now.
This is just the collectible world.
Yeah.
Why is a Pokemon card worth 300,000 or multiple millions? It's just value just sort of built up over time on certain things. And some people don't see any value in it, and some people do.
Yeah, exactly. And then also that one part of the message that said it's sort of like a lottery, that some sort of rich collector might find it. That's like such a wrong mindset. That's just immediately seeking for an opportunity to make money and not taking anything else in consideration, because it's not just a rich collector, it's someone who actually appreciates your art or like see value in your art and believe in you as a person. And of course, it's great that you're sort of being compensated for your art and everything, but it's not just a rich collector.
Yeah, no, these are actual people who care about art. And also, I think if you are selling NFTs and you truly don't care about art, how can you, like, you don't get anything out of it. You just get money out of it, and money won't really bring you anywhere. This is like the thing. Like, if you don't truly care about art, I don't think it makes any sense to get into the NFT space. I'm so deeply like loving towards art. Like, I've always loved creating things, and for the past 5 years, art has been my whole life.
Yeah.
And creating like new stuff makes me so excited, and that is sort of the feeling that I want to maintain. And there have been times throughout my career already where I've done so much of the business side that I've lost a lot of the creative side. And then I've noticed that like this, like the business side doesn't really mean even near as much to me as the creative side. And now I've been trying to put way more effort back into the creativity itself. And it just fuels me personally way differently. And I think that's sort of a sign when you realize that art is what truly like matters. And that what everyone should keep in mind.
Yeah. And what is amazing for me is that currently, since I'm so, so excited about 3D, I can basically focus like the whole day on it for like multiple days in a row, because now with the NFTs, I sort of got the chance to actually earn something with it. And it's so amazing, because I sort of evolve as an artist and learn more and improve in everything, but I don't really have to worry that much about the money part.
And this is what is super beautiful about the NFTs. It gives artists a whole new opportunity to truly focus on what is important. You compensated for the art that you are creating, and you compensated for the art you love to create.
Yeah.
You're not compensated for creating an images or creating art pieces for a company. You're compensated for creating something that you truly love and believe in, and seeing other people believe in it too and actually put money into it is just a huge plus factor. But a lot of artists like say that the money is nothing, blah, blah, blah. And of course, that's a whole another sort of side that no one should go to. There should be a healthy in between that, like, if you get into the NFT space, money plays a big factor in it. But if
and
you don't,
denying it is also really wrong.
It sort of gives the feeling that like artists don't really care about money and like it's not about the money and so on. But to be honest, there is a huge side to it. With every artist, they will be honest with themselves that
it plays a huge part. Try to make a living.
Exactly.
And that's not wrong. You don't have to feel bad for like feeling that, of course, money is important.
As sad as it is, the money, like the world sort of revolves around money. If you don't have money, you don't survive. And and everyone needs a certain amount of money to fulfill what they sort of want to do in life. But now we have to take in consideration that not everything can be roses and sunshine. There's also a very negative aspect to the NFT space. And I'm quickly going to read a bit about what the problem is. So the rise of NFT transactions has also led to increased environmental criticism. The computation-heavy processes associated with proof-of-work blockchains, the type primarily used for NFTs, require high energy inputs that are contributing to global warming. The carbon emissions produced by the energy needed to maintain these blockchains has forced some in the NFT market to rethink their carbon footprint. So the underlying issue here is that every time a piece is sold or minted to the blockchain, it requires a lot of computing power. And the miners who basically create more and more cryptocurrencies, they're also responsible for all the transactions and things that are happening in the blockchain. So every single time something happens, computer power is necessary, and as we know, generating electricity is quite a bad thing for the global warming if it's not done in a renewable way. And mainly on the NFT space and on the miners, they don't use renewable energy sources, and that is sort of the problem. But then we need to take in consideration how big is this problem from singular artists who are putting a one-on-one edition, for example. Because if you mint one piece and one person purchases it and might sell it in the future, the carbon footprint is way smaller than someone who does like 100 edition collection, for example. And let's say someone, a big artist who sells, let's say 150 pieces, and these 150 pieces get resold. Every single time they're resold, it's basically like putting more and more into the carbon footprint. And I think with those resales and big collections, those are basically creating more and more issues, and the impact on those are larger than a single artist. But we still need to take in consideration that even single artists should know that this is happening, and it's not all roses and sunshine.
Yeah, and we definitely wanted to talk about it since, of course, it affects us as me being or like actually publishing NFTs, and you're also thinking of it. So, of course, it's not all roses and sunshine, and they're currently working on a thing that is called Ethereum 2.0, and this is supposed to use 99% less computing power and everything. And I don't know how long this will still take to actually become reality, but they are trying to find a solution. And what is really amazing is that I stumbled upon a website. It's called Carbon FYI, or like carbon.fyi. And then you can basically insert your MetaMask address or your Ethereum address. And then,
which is the virtual wallet address that you create.
Exactly. And then it basically tells you how much you produce and how big your carbon footprint is in this field. And then you're able to offset that. There are specific pages where you can basically pay money to offset your carbon footprint. And I will definitely do it. I found out about it a couple of days ago. And it's, yeah, a really good way.
Yeah, and we'll most likely put all the links to the description. We'll also provide some articles. But yeah, this is the negative side to NFTs, and everyone should be aware of it and educate yourself into the negative effects of NFTs and make your own decisions of what you want to contribute and what you don't. But I think we covered quite a lot now. We'll still answer a few questions. And I know that we are not people who are able to give very, very detailed answers or detailed descriptions to these things, because these are pretty complicated things to talk about. And we're basically just talking about how we have understood things, and you should do your own research and read articles on what these things mean and what the descriptions are. So if you are interested in all the details, study more about Ethereum, Ether, blockchains, and all of these things.
Exactly. And we already covered a lot of questions that all of you had, but there are like 2 to 3 that we still haven't really answered. I'm just quickly going to pick up my phone to read it. One person asked if it's true that in order to get success with NFTs, you need like a lot of social proof or a lot of social media following. And my initial answer is no, because this question came from Instagram, and a lot of people are thinking that a huge audience on Instagram is necessary. And since everything is really happening on Twitter, I wouldn't say that it plays a big role. Of course, it's good, or like it's almost necessary that you sort of have a history in art, that you just basically randomly started an account or like started creating art just when NFT became a big thing. Oh, that collectors can actually understand that you've been doing it for quite a while and that it's actually a passion of yours and you don't only do it for money.
Yeah, I would personally say that I have like almost 500,000 followers on Instagram. If I would now put an NFT out there without actually like being active on Twitter at all, I most likely wouldn't sell my NFT. I'm pretty much a nobody on Twitter. Like, this is the thing. Like, there's on the NFT community, people don't really know who I am. But on the Instagram community, on like what we do, there's a lot of people who sort of are aware of the things that I'm doing. So you need to take in consideration that since most of the stuff is happening on Twitter, Instagram followers and your social media following in general is sort of secondary. Because on Twitter, if you post beautiful work there, I've seen nobodies get like hundreds and even thousands of followers from tweets going viral. And that has been very beneficial for them starting their NFT artist career, so to say, as well. And that is just something to keep in mind. You don't really need followers, but having a background in art is something that really helps. And then you shouldn't just like get into NFTs now because it's a possibility to take make money.
Yeah.
So having a background in art is sort of necessary, but having a lot of followers, definitely not.
Yeah, and I also think a lot of collectors like to invest in smaller artists. When I basically talked with my very first collector, he also said that what inspires him so much to do exactly that, to invest in smaller artists, is that he sees the value, and it would be the most beautiful thing if he actually sees those people succeed and actually grow bigger and everything. So yeah, that basically answers it. It's not necessary. Of course, it's helpful for collectors to already see the value or like see that you sort of have a name out there, but not necessary.
Yeah. What is your second question?
The second and actually sort of the last question that we basically haven't answered is, tell about the buyers. What kind of buyers are interested in NFTs and what do they expect from it? I think the most important thing is that they can somehow resonate with the art, that you can basically touch them with your art, and that they might also see the value in it in order to resell them maybe at some point, or just like they see the value in you as an artist and believe that you might grow bigger.
And there are also a lot of investors on the NFT market. So people, I would say on platforms like Foundation, SuperRare, there's more art collectors. But then on platforms like Nifty Gateway, when there's celebrities and big people releasing like one-on-one collections or one-on-one editions and then bigger collections, that's when also the investors kick in and see the value in it, in money point of view.
Yeah.
But a lot of it on Foundation, SuperRare, and those like art platforms see the value in the art itself. And Michelle answered that already pretty well.
I think we answered all the questions that we got
throughout the episode.
If we didn't,
I'm sure people have questions. So just put them into the comments.
Yeah.
This is really important for us so we can just connect with you a bit better through this podcast. We see that there's hundreds of people watching this podcast every week, and we really, really appreciate everyone who has been watching so far. And we say it in this podcast pretty often, but just remember that we are talking always about these things in the way that we have learned them and the way how we see them. Our opinions, our sort of point of view. And if you don't agree with us, it's completely fine. We would also like to hear that in the comments to just build a bit of discussion on this whole thing, on all the sort of topics that we are talking about. But I think that wraps it up pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
We really appreciate if you could subscribe to our channel. We're trying to get 1,000 subscribers this year. It's a pretty big goal for us, but let's hope we will make it at some point. So please subscribe to our podcast channel, drop a like to this video, and comment your thoughts on the episode. This is the Beneath the Surface podcast.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.